Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. For most people living in rural America, electricity in the home didn't come along until the late 1940s. Big electric companies were reluctant to invest in the infrastructure needed to get energy all the way out to a few farmers living at the end of a dirt road. So the government loaned money to start rural electric cooperatives, ratepayer-owned nonprofits that provided electricity to rural America. And rural electric cooperatives still provide energy to over 42 million customers in this country, including two cooperatives in Vermont. The National Lobbying Organization for the country's 900 rural cooperatives is dead set against climate change regulation. The National Rural Electric Cooperative Association, the NRECA, has taken a stand against the proposed EPA regulation of carbon emissions. And the CEO of the organization, Joanne Emerson, has described climate change as, quote, a matter of debate. Dave Hallquist, CEO of Vermont Electric Cooperative, says that makes working with the national organization somewhat challenging.
It is frustrating, and like any other population, there are extremes on both sides of the issue. You know, I would say if I talk to the, you know, I do interact with a lot of NRECA CEOs. I'm involved with a lot of their national organization and the research council. I would say about a third of the CEOs are really stuck in their position and don't want to hear anything. There's a third that are in the middle, and then there's probably a third that are listening, and a minority that are actually in the position that Vermont is in.
So a minority, but there are others who would like to see more renewables in the mix, and that is not fighting the proposed EPA regulation of CO2 emissions.
Yeah, I think varying degrees of support, you know, some reluctant support. But I will say that it really varies by state. You know, we find ourselves aligned with Hawaii, Minnesota, and North Carolina as states.
One of the main complaints of the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association is that regulating carbon emissions will raise the price of electricity for their largely rural, largely poor ratepayers. Have you been able to implement renewable energy alternatives for your ratepayers without raising costs, and how?
No, I agree that renewables cost more money. And I'll give that perspective. I'll talk about my good friend Greg Starheim, who's the CEO of Kenergy in Kentucky. They have very low priced electricity because they run their electricity from coal. But they also, you know, you look at it from their perspective. They have two large aluminum smelting facilities that employ well over 600 of his members, and they're a rural area, and the rural areas are economically depressed areas. So if he's facing 60% increases in his electricity prices, so you know I really have to have empathy for he and his members, because you're looking at disrupting their entire culture, putting people out of work. You know, you're talking about the whole community is being disrupted because of those significant increases in costs. There's no question that dirty power is cheap.
So when you look at what these rural electric cooperatives and their customers are facing in coal country, and you say you have a lot of sympathy for them, a lot of empathy, but how, when you have a discussion with those who are listening, where do you reach common ground then on what should be done when, if we're talking about regulating CO2 emissions and if we're talking about moving to renewables, that will cost more and will put people out of jobs in other places?
It's very difficult to come to common ground when you're faced with those kind of decisions. I would say when you're dealing with a co-op that has that kind of level of dependence on coal, Greg Starheim and our good friends, and he's a very intelligent CEO representing his cooperative members. So, you know, we certainly differ on the position, but I do understand.
You also mentioned, Dave Hallquist, that what you're seeing is that renewables do cost more money, and alternative sources of power, not the dirty coal that you're talking about, that does cost more money. Can you put that in perspective? You know, are ratepayers in Vermont paying more than ratepayers in Kentucky?
Oh, yes, much more. In fact, Vermont has the seventh highest residential rates in the nation, which we've improved. Last year, we had the fourth highest in the nation. You know, New England as a whole has high rates for the expensive power. So if you look at, you know, if you look at places that are using coal, their electric rates are about 10 cents a kilowatt hour, where ours are running about 17 cents. So pretty dramatic differences.
We got a statement from Patricia Richards, the CEO of the Washington Electric Co-op, the other rural electric cooperative in Vermont, and she says WEC is pro-renewable power and is one of a few utilities in the U.S. that can say it's 100% renewable. She goes on to say, while our national cooperative leadership has embarked on a program that supports all sources of power, we on behalf of our members are taking an approach that is renewable-based, one that omits nuclear and fossil fuels from its resource mix. We do this while working hard to keep our rates competitive and fair for all of our members. That's Patricia Richards, CEO of Washington Electric Cooperative. And we're talking with Dave Hulquist, the CEO of Vermont Electric Cooperative. So what do you do from here, Dave Hulquist? Do you just say, okay, well, we're going to do what we do in Vermont, you know, what fits into the state priorities for renewable power and not worry too much about the renewable priorities for the rest of the country? Or do you see a bigger role for you and those that think like you?
I think I feel I have an obligation to play a bigger role. You know, if you think about it, Vermont is, you know, 0.2% of the national the national energy use. If we really do want to clean up, we've got to face the other 99.8%. So it does. I think it's very important to play an active role at the national level.
But what does that mean if you're just sort of shouting into the wind when it's blowing in the other direction?
Well, I've seen the number of co-ops who have embraced renewables increasing over the years. You know, Vermont, I can safely say we were a leader in our when we started looking at efficiency programs in the mid-90s. Most of the co-ops that are looking at efficiency programs have just begun to look at that. So we can provide knowledge and experience to those who are starting to head down the path and hopefully have them become successful and have them start to talk about how important it is. So it's going to take a lot of time, but the alternative is not to do anything and not to create the change. So I think I feel a strong obligation to continue to work at the national level with my fellow co-ops.
Do you feel like you have any traction or any ability to talk to Joanne Emerson, the head of the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association, about the lobbying efforts and about her position that she's not even sure that climate change, is really happening?
Yes, I do. I do talk to Joanne Emerson, does she hear what I have to say? At some level, but you know, when she's representing an organization that's firmly implanted in coal, it's pretty tough to take a position that's counter to your membership.
Mm-hmm. So no internal coup from the cooperatives from Hawaii, Minnesota, and Vermont that we're going to see down the pike?
No, I don't think a coup will work here.
Well, I appreciate you talking to us about this issue and where Vermont stands as we look at national lobbying efforts from the rural electric cooperatives on proposed EPA CO2 emissions regulation. Dave Hulquist, thank you very much for talking with us.
You're welcome.